Our first lesson is from St. John's first letter, the fourth chapter. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. This Sunday, as I mentioned in the introduction, is Confirmation Sunday. I also said the theme of the lessons really is a theme of Christian perseverance. It's a very important thing for all of us to think about and pray about and work for. And we have a great lesson for us about that today in this first lesson from 1 John chapter 4. In fact, if you want to, it may be helpful for you to open your pew Bibles up and to follow along with me there. These young people that will be confirmed here this Sunday have been studying the Christian faith, and this is a moment in time for them to remember, try to put it all together, what they've been taught, and to confess that publicly. Some might wonder if they're too young to take on the great promises that they're being asked to make. Maybe we should wait until they're a little bit older. I've often thought about that myself. But in reality, also know that if we waited, we would still lose many in between. The Holy Spirit calls Christians to faith. The world and the spirit of the world, we'll hear more about it in the lesson in just a moment, the Antichrist tries to call us away from that faith. And there's always been this tug of war going on between the church and the world. And the devil's success at times to peel away believers from God's kingdom. It is a war, and a very real war, and it's really found on every single page of the Bible. But the page that we take up today is this one from 1 John chapter 4. Let me begin with verses 1 to 3. Test the spirits. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see that they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. What does John mean here by testing the spirits? What kind of spirits is he talking about? Well, we know that God created all human beings with both bodies and souls, bodies and spirits. Our spirits can be in a right relationship with God's Spirit. What happens when we are baptized is He gives us His Word, His name, His Spirit in our life. And that continues to grow as we continue to listen to God's Word and believe it and live it. But there are many in the world who do not have that Spirit of God in their life. They have a spirit, but their spirit is more in line with the spirit of the Antichrist. This is why we have to always test the spirits. And what that really means is whoever you have in your life, another human being, a friend, a teacher, an author of a book, a singer, anyone that has any influence in your life at all, John says we should test their spirit to see whether it is a spirit of God or the spirit of the Antichrist, whether it is a person who will help us fear, love, and trust in God more, or whether it is a person who will help us fear, love, and trust in God less. Well, how do you know if a person has the Spirit of God? John tells us. They confess that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh. That is a shorthand way of talking about all of the gospel and all of the Bible. Basically, they believe what the Bible teaches, and they want to follow it in their own lives. This is so important that we do this, so important that we recognize the spiritual world that we live in. Jesus said, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his soul?" There are many examples in the Bible of people who had this Spirit of God. All believers in the Bible have the Spirit of God, but some of them are kind of notable. Joseph, for example, when he was sold into slavery by his brothers, nevertheless persevered in his faith. And it was recognized by Pharaoh, and after Joseph was able to interpret his dreams, Pharaoh said this, curiously, about Joseph. "Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God?" Paul beautifully said it this way in Corinthians. He said that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who lives in us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we are constantly repenting of our sins, believing in forgiveness in Christ, praying, giving thanks, and striving to do the will of God and to walk in His ways. John knew, however, these other spirits are in the world. They are not from God. They are the spirit of the Antichrist. Well, how do you know the spirit of the Antichrist? Well, the spirit of the Antichrist does not confess Christ, does not believe the Bible, does not repent of their sins, does not feel any need for God's forgiveness, does not pray or give thanks or seek to do the will of God. It's important for us to recognize that happening around us. And so the first step towards persevering in the faith, as John teaches us here, is to test and be aware of the world that's going on around us. Let's go on to verses 4 through 6. And there John teaches us about how God and His Spirit is greater than all the spirits of the Antichrist and of the world. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. One of the things that we have to painfully acknowledge is that the spirits of the world, the acolytes of the Antichrist, are far numerous than the Christian spirits, than those who have the Spirit of God in their hearts. And so whoever you find in your life, a teacher, a classmate, somebody like that makes you laugh, someone that makes you comfortable, someone that makes you happy, that's great. But Janet, you always have to ask yourself, are they helping me in my faith? Or am I the one called by God to help them in their faith? And sometimes it may seem overwhelming to us. Sometimes a person that we like, a person that we would want to be friends with, doesn't really like our spirit, our Christian spirit. And when we bring up Jesus and the Bible, they may look at us and say, you're one of those. Or maybe worse than that, they'll say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian too. And then you go on to talk to them and find out that, no, they're probably not a Christian. They don't follow the commandments, and they don't fear, love, and trust in God as they should. The worst form of the way of the world and the power of the world that we have to recognize is when the spirits of the Antichrist use the powers of the world, such as government, to challenge the Spirit of Christ in our hearts. It happened not that long ago when the pandemic hit and our governor closed our church down, or tried to. We found an end run around his error and held our services out in the parking lot, which was kind of fun, with pajamas and people even bringing their dogs to church and things like that. But it was sad that our governor and his advisors believed in their hearts that it was okay to go to the grocery store, it was okay to go to the hardware store, but it was not okay to go to church. And he was imposing his religious beliefs on the entire state by making that rule. He was saying, worship is not as important as other things in life. That's his opinion, that's his belief, and he's entitled to it. But what he's not entitled to is to force you and me to follow that way of living. Jesus said that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is probably the growing challenge for us, and this is why it's so important to hear what John is saying. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. As the world is mounting up its forces against the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ, and using even government, business, pressures to change your views and your beliefs about marriage, sexuality, race, religion, and many other things. Can we resist that? Can we stand up to that? We can't. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And again, the Bible gives us so many examples of that. The Spirit of God was greater, for example, in the heart of Stephen when he confessed his faith in Christ. That spirit was greater than the spirit that was in the high priest and the council members who rose up and stoned him to death. He persevered in his faith to the very end. That spirit of Christ was stronger in the heart of a young boy, 16 years old, named Patrick, who was kidnapped and held slavery for over 6 years, who escaped in a harrowing escape across the English Channel and back home to England. And there he became a pastor and then went back to Ireland because the spirit in him was greater than all those druid spirits that were in the Irish men. And he preached the gospel to them and many believed. The Spirit of Christ was stronger in the heart of a young girl, a college student in Germany named Sophie Scholl, who resisted the Nazi movement and was beheaded for it. But she persevered to the very end. Her pastor came and met with her. They prayed. She confessed her sins. She received the absolution of Christ. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Now we move on to verses 7 through 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. How do we persevere in this Christian faith? We hold fast to the Spirit of Christ. Again, the Spirit of repentance, Spirit of forgiveness, the Spirit of prayer and of thanks and of striving to do God's will. We hold fast to his word and the truth of that word, but we also live by that word according to the law of love. John tells us, as Jesus always did, to love one another. We resist sin when we do that. We often can see that this is one of the greatest weapons that God has given to us against the spirit of the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist often rises up and claims that spirit is actually the loving spirit. That we Christians are not loving because we are too judgmental. The reason this is a deception and an error is clear when you think about it. The Bible tells us that God is love. St. Paul said that love is the fulfilling of the law. It is not love to not obey the commandments. It is not love to tell people you can just do whatever you want as long as you're not hurting anybody. That's not logically even true. Whatever we do against the law of God's commandments, the laws of nature themselves are going to come back to bite us or to bite someone else. We've seen that through constant cause and effect all through history and all through our very own lives. Love is in love with the law of God. Love is God himself. And so the spirit of the Antichrist can never stand in judgment of us, telling us that we are not loving people, because that spirit does not know the love of God, and if it did, it rejects it completely. When we show that love, even to our enemies, as Jesus stressed, we are, as Paul said, heaping burning coals upon their heads. That is a weapon that God gives us to use against the world and its efforts to drive that Spirit of God out of our hearts. Bringing us now to the last part, and most important of all, how do we persevere in this faith? John tells us, verse 10, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought love one another. God sent his Son. That is the ultimate example of true love. Even when you did not love God, he still sent what he loved the most, his own Son, to be a propitiation for our sins. It doesn't get much clearer than that. This means that Jesus' life and his death was a wiping away of our sins. And that's a beautiful image to keep in your minds, of sins being wiped away by the blood of Christ. It isn't that we did this. John makes that very clear. We didn't love God and then he began to love us because we loved him enough or something like that. No, he loved us even when we didn't deserve it. And he took us who were broken, who were dirty, and he cleaned us up and he healed us and he straightened us out and he revived us and he gave us a new life. Jesus is our propitiation, and Jesus is the ultimate gift of God against the spirit of the Antichrist. Remember this in your deepest and darkest depression. Remember this when you find your sadness turning into self-hatred and even self-disgust. Say these words to yourself: God's grace is greater than my sin. The blood of Jesus can fix the worst messes that you may ever find in your life. God sent his Son, and in his Son he gave us love. And in that love, we too can love as he did. He loved his enemies from the cross to the very end. He gave his life for the forgiveness of our sins. We also can live in that truth and in that love. And this is the perseverance against the spirit of the Antichrist. 53 years ago, I affirmed my faith in the rite of confirmation. I said that I believed in Jesus and that I wanted to follow him. But I look back on that day and I honestly admit that it just didn't feel quite like I thought it should feel. It seemed as though I was kind of being carried along. And for some reason in my young heart at that time, I just kind of sensed that wasn't quite right. And yet I still believed in Jesus. Looking back on that after all these years, I now kind of realize what was going on. In my confirmation, I didn't immediately become a mature and strong Christian. I was a weak little seedling. I was influenced by the winds and the spirits of this world. They would sometimes bend me, but they never broke me. And that's what's so important to realize. We believe in Jesus, and even though when our faith begins, our acceptance of him, I sometimes think of myself at that time as like the opening of a wine bottle, and God trying to pour his truth and his love into me. It got in there, and it was doing good for me. But what really also needed to happen was for God to now widen that opening. And that's what he's done all my life. And that's what I hope he's done in doing in your lives as well. As you persevere in the faith, the Holy Spirit becomes more and more powerful in your lives. Repentance becomes more significant. Forgiveness becomes more significant. Prayer and thanks and seriously striving to do the will of God, all those things become more and more significant, stronger, more passionate, and greater. That doesn't mean that when you were younger you didn't have it. It means that you were meant to grow. And that's what God promises to do for us. That's his gift of the perseverance in the truth and in the love of Christ. Amen. Please rise.